当时能念了呀。
那头先我想要来念诵发心文。那今天那个康固一直自己说要供曼达拉，所以就让他供曼达吧。那就快点念诵吧。那直接念诵一个供养文不是就好了吗？就念诵一个寄送。那不是有一个佛像在那里？那这个调是不丹的调还是雅隆的调？黄色的卡带拿过来。所谓的发心是佛法的精髓。声闻的就声闻缘觉之道是菩提心的前行，是属于共道。那正行是菩提心，那密教之法是菩提心之六波罗波罗蜜，也就是最主要，尤其是禅定波罗波罗蜜和智慧波罗波罗蜜的学处，所以所有的一些法都是都浓摄于菩提心的前行、正行，还有它的学处。
teaching and the Buddha's teaching and the path as well. So one can say that all the various elements of the practices that are presented in the teachings of the disciples' vehicles and the self-realized one's vehicles, all of these various elements of the practices presented on those scriptures can be viewed as preliminaries to the practice of bodhicitta, awakening mind. And the awakening mind, the cultivation of awakening mind, is really the main practice, the main element of the path. And all the other practices, such as the six perfections and also including the Vajrayana practices, can be seen as precepts of taking the bodhicitta, precepts of generating the awakening mind. And particularly the Vajrayana practices can be seen as an extension and elaboration on a kind of a refined development of especially the last two perfections, the perfection of meditation and perfection of wisdom.
That 头衔，那有释这前面有释迦牟尼佛的像，藏文就称为从天马释迦牟尼佛像。那观想释迦牟尼佛，他就亲就，如同他亲自到临到现场一样，在前方，还有他的随从的龙树父子，还有无着的兄弟也都在前方。那以西藏来讲，不管是前一起或是后一起的这些先贤的上师，那这些大事物利益一切有情的一些祖师，观想在前，把它观想在前方。那现在我们先，那我们就不需要念诵七字供养。那我把意思解释给你们听，让你们来观想。那第一个是礼拜职，那礼拜敬的身口一功德，我们把它意念起来之后，那是为了一些众生，希望我可以得到如同前方佛的身口一功德，那合掌，然后从内心申请欲求的信解，欲求的信心，然后来升起礼拜之心。
Mind, and then cultivate from the depth of your heart a deep admiration and reverence to these objects of refuge and veneration. And also from the depth of your heart, cultivate an admiration that also aspires to attain their qualities of body, speech and mind for yourself. And with that kind of deep sense of admiration and reverence, then place your two palms together, folded, and imagine making prostration.
这时候是供养之。一般我们 有很多供养，就是自己或是不是自己所拥有的供养或是义供养。那最主要的供养就是，就譬如说我们现在，我们一年起释迦牟尼佛圣位功德，那我们身体用很恭敬的这个行为，那就是那时候我们就会有身体一生所积聚的功德。那当我们念诵世尊的圣口意功德的赞恩颂语，是语功德，或者是念诵咒语的这些，或者是利益他人而讲说的这些法，讲说的这些语，就是语功德。那以心而言，就是我们升起了虔诚心、菩提心、空正见，或者是慈悲心，那就是如同之前还有前几天所提的，那我们就升起说，哦，菩提心是非常的殊胜，那非常好的一个心。当我们升起这样的一种心，也就是所谓的意功德，那我们身口意所积造的、造作的这些功德，那观想，这就是唯能让佛陀欢喜的供养，那这就是所谓的供养之。
Having imagined the object of refuge in front of you, in whose presence you have bowed and made prostrations, you should then mentally offer everything, you know, things that belong to you and also things that do not belong to anyone, sort of the common environment. All of this you mentally offer to these great objects of refuge. And then more importantly, you should offer all the virtues that you have accumulated and all your realizations and spiritual practices. For example, right now, after having reflected upon the qualities of the body, speech and mind of the Buddha and the great Bodhisattvas, we have cultivated a deep sense of veneration, and out of that we have paid homage to the Buddha by bowing down with palms folded. That in itself is a virtuous activity performed through your body. Similarly, you know, verbally, by reciting verses that praise the enlightened qualities of the body, speech and mind of the Buddha, these verbal actions constitute virtuous actions. Similarly, if even the utterance of a single word or a word out of a motivation to be of benefit to someone, even those utterances constitute a virtuous activity. And so all of these activities you should offer to the Buddha, and on the mental level, contemplations on the cultivation of deep reverence to the Buddha and cultivation of a sense of deep conviction in the truth of the Dharma, and also cultivation of a deep sense of admiration to the Buddha and the three jewels, and also generation of a great compassion, and also cultivation of some understanding of the view of emptiness, you know, on the basis of what we have been discussing over the last 2 days. When you were listening to the lectures and explanation of the various aspects of the Buddhist path, you know, every now and then, as a result of your understanding, you may develop a sense of admiration to these teachings and the great veracity of these teachings and so on. Even these admirations are mental acts of virtue. So you should make offerings of all of these, and this is the most important offering, and these offerings are referred to as the true offerings of practice, a spiritual practice.
这只有是忏悔，我们都不想要痛苦，因此我们应该去观痛苦之因、恶业之过失。那我们所积聚的这些痛苦，那就是我们要遮止我们的痛苦。我们以前所造作这恶业，我们要升起追悔心，那希望，然后要升起一个决定心，让自己以后不再造作恶业之心，以这两种心，然后来忏悔。
So I am reflecting upon the fact that these destructive and negative actions
lead to, give rise to suffering. One should develop a deep sense of recognition of their destructive nature, and with that develop a sense of resolution that from now on, a sense of resolve that from now on I shall never indulge in these negative acts. And with that thought, you should declare them and purify them.
那则就是随喜自己的功德，或是他人的功德。那以他人的功德而言，就是随喜佛的事业功德，或者是龙树菩萨的父子的这些事业的功德，或者是随喜这个无着兄弟他们的事业，或者是随喜西藏的先贤的大师他们所造的这些事业，我们随喜他们的功德。
With relation to others, you should rejoice and cultivate a deep sense of admiration for the great enlightened deeds of the Buddha and also masters like Nagarjuna and his immediate disciples, Indian masters like Asanga and his immediate disciples, and also all the great masters of the Tibetan Buddhist traditions of all four major schools of Tibetan Buddhism. Cultivate a deep sense of rejoicing and the admiration in the enlightened deeds of all of these great masters.
那这之后，那就是劝请在前方的诸佛菩萨，诸佛请他们转法轮。 那还要学会刚刚他们怎么念诵供曼达拉文这个调，你们要把它学起来。那这种颤抖的声音，你们一定要把它学起来。 那这时候是请长久注视。那以上就是弃之供养。那不管我们有没有念诵，那念诵文的长文或是短文，它的意思就是刚刚我所说的。 那最主要是自他平等，我们要去视为我们自己他人，所有一切人都是想要离苦得乐。那在自己而言，我们的痛苦还有它的根源是能够断除的。同样的，其他的一些众生，他们的心绪的痛苦也是可以去除的。 那他们的痛苦之因也是可以断除的。那不管是我，不只是我，其他的东西，自我都一样，都可以证得一切菩提。那不一样不同之处就是我是一个人，他人是无量无边的。所以这些众生离苦得乐，以这点来讲是一等的。所以现在我们就升起一个心，希望所有的众生他们
Oneself wishes to achieve happiness and overcome suffering. So too, do all sentient beings, desire to seek happiness and wishes to overcome suffering. Similarly, just as in one's own case, one's essential nature of mind is pure and one's suffering and particularly the afflictions are in principle removable. In the same manner, all sentient beings possess the nature which allows them to, at least in principle, to be able to remove the suffering and their causes. Similarly, just as oneself has the potential for the attainment of omniscient mind of the Buddha, so too, equally, all sentient beings possess that equal potential of being able to attain omniscient mind of the Buddhahood. So from all of these angles, if we reflect deeply, we will recognize the fundamental equality of self and others. Then the question is, what is the difference when it comes to the well-being of self and others? So the difference only really lies in number, because when we speak about the well-being of oneself, we're talking only about the well-being of a single individual. Whereas when we speak about the welfare and the well-being of others, we're talking about infinite numbers of sentient beings. So that although on the fundamental level there is the equality between self and others, the difference really lies in the number of self and others.
那这次我就如同入行论所讲说的，世界上所有的快乐是靠利神利他人的心而得到，那世界上所有的这些衰损都是因为靠贪着自己的快乐而来的。世界上所有的这些美妙美满圆满都是靠利益他人的心而来，那世界上所有的衰损还有这个恶劣不好的果啊，甚至连声闻读觉他们所得到的这个，他们堕入于极尽边缘，这是因为靠我爱子而来。所以我们好好的思维我爱子和爱他心这两的差别，我爱子的过失，爱他心的功德。那又谈到说，就是我们和佛陀的差别，佛陀他没有具足广无量无边的功德，而我们都没有任何功德。原因是因为我们我爱子太强，那我们被我爱子所控制啊，不只是我爱子，还有是我爱子跟我执的仆人，释迦牟尼佛还有他的佛子菩萨，那他们见到我爱子的过失而让自己的升起爱他心，然后见我爱子的过失而升起我爱子的对峙无我的智慧，而变成了远离一切过失证得一切功德之佛。所以我们好好的去思维我爱子和爱他心这两者的过失还有利益。
Relieve other sentient beings from their suffering. And then here next, it is important to reflect upon what is stated in Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhicharyavatara, where Shantideva makes the following statement, that all the problems and the adversities that we see in the world are in the final analysis consequences of self-centeredness. And all the joys and the happiness and prosperity that we see in the world are in the final analysis consequences or effects of the thought cherishing others. So by reflecting upon these statements, one needs to reflect deeply upon the shortcomings and disadvantages and the drawbacks of the thought that cherishes one's own well-being alone, and what are the benefits and the virtues of cultivating the thought that cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings. And then when you do that, then you will appreciate what Shantideva sums up in the same text in the following, where Shantideva says that what more is need to be said. Simply compare the fate of the childish whose concern is only with one's own self-interest and that of the Buddha and the Buddha, the fully enlightened mind, a fully enlightened one whose concern is for the well-being of other sentient beings. So as Shantideva points out, that if we simply compare where we are as ordinary beings and the fully enlightened Buddhas, the difference between us is really the indication or the result of the difference between cherishing self-centeredness and cherishing the well-being of other sentient beings. So, and you know, our own situation of remaining continuously in the unenlightened state is really the function and the consequence of still perpetually being caught in this continuation of self-centeredness, whereas the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, they have reversed that process, and in the place of cherishing one's own self-interest, they have replaced that with the cherishing the welfare of other sentient beings. And it is because of that reversal in the process, the Bodhisattvas have already embarked upon a path that would lead to enlightenment, and the fully awakened ones have already attained full enlightenment. So by reflecting along these lines, one should really compare the pros and cons of these two thoughts, one cherishing one's own interest alone and well-being, and the thought that cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings, and then arrive at a conclusion where one recognizes the disadvantages of self-centeredness and appreciates the value and the benefits of other-centeredness, the thought that cherishes others and others'
welfare. 从无始以来，让自己堕落。 也就是我执和我爱执这两者，我们把它视为自己的敌人。所以从今开始，我要让我们内心的这个敌人，我现在已经知道是谁了。那所以我应该要对治他。那，对，我们要升起对治我执的空正见，还有对治我爱执这。 还有爱他心，那希望这两个心我可以一直把它持守修持，使这两种心达到最究竟的圆满的境界。因此，立下一个很大的决心，愿自己可以好好的升起空正见和爱他心。
And so these two graspings, the grasping at the self-existence of oneself, and the grasping at one's own self-interest, the cherishing, the thought that cherishes one's own interest, these are the two twin kind of forces which have up till now really enslaved us. Now you make a resolve, and it is these two thoughts, these two forces that have really been responsible for all the adversities and all the problems that we have constantly undergone. So by making the resolve that from now on I shall not allow myself to be enslaved by this, and now today I have truly recognized who is my true enemy, and having recognized this true enemy, you should make the resolve that from now on, I shall never endorse them, I shall never reinforce them, and instead I will counter them and I will combat them with the corresponding antidotes, which are the generation of the awakening mind, which counters the self-cherishing thoughts, and I shall cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, which counters the grasping at true existence. And with these two practices, I shall aim to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. So you should really make a strong resolve.
Now, 这两个偈颂再加上念诵乃至有虚空这个偈颂，那我们那就是修学四树菩提心、深悟菩提心的这个内涵，在本文里面都有提到。那这里有讲说，我与汝等恒归一，那就如同如昨天所讲说的，我他本身是无自性的。那我们所归依之处，佛宝和僧宝，它也是菩提伽罗。那我们去寻找的时候，也是无法得到。我们寻找假意的时候，是没有一个法可以得到的。那它的所依法，菩提伽罗如果不存在的话，那他内心的端正功德，我们怎么安立他内心的端正功德呢？所以我是名言而安立，那所皈依之处三宝，他也是为名安立。那西愿度脱有其心，他们也是菩提伽罗，那他们也是唯有安立，唯安立而已，唯名言有。那这样思维的话，也就是有思维到空性的道理。
When you do that, you should be aware of the emptiness of one's own self. Similarly, when you go for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, so just as the person who is going for refuge is devoid of intrinsic existence, similarly, the object of your refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, too are devoid of intrinsic existence. Because Buddha is a being, and also Sangha is a being, and if the beings themselves are devoid of inherent existence, then the Dharma, which is the realization and the quality of this being, too will be devoid of intrinsic existence. So when you go for refuge in the three jewels, when you state yourself by saying, I shall always go for refuge, you should be aware of the emptiness of one's own self and also emptiness of the object of refuge, which is the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And if you are able to do that, then this act of generating the awakening mind will be
complete.
那西愿度脱有其心，我们所谓的这个有情，它也是无有自性的。那我们现在来念诵这个三遍：悉愿度脱有情心，诸佛正法与僧伽，直至圆满菩提前，我与汝等恒归依。乃至有虚空以及众生住，愿无住世间，尽除众生苦。那有一个另外一个偈颂是具足慈悲与智慧，为利有情我精进，尽于佛前曾静住，发起无上菩提心。 祈愿度脱有情心，诸佛正法与僧伽持至圆满菩提前，我与汝等恒皈依，具足慈悲与智慧，为利有情我精进，今于佛前诚敬住，发起无上菩提心，乃至有虚空以及众生住，愿无住世间，尽除众生苦。那以上是最浓色简略的愿心文。那平时因为只有三个偈颂，那你们要常常的念诵。那如果可以背起来的话，那平时要常常意念起其中的内容。
You will be able to memorize them, and once you are able to do that, if you can reflect upon them on a daily basis, it will be very beneficial.
So, 现在讲说渐慢口诀渐慢论。还是在53页。那上面的科判当中，有讲说到三相，然后如何入三。那三项讲完之后，然后现在讲说入彼之理。那现在先讲说是通达相者，那这次我讲到三性，然后是念修。大圆满之理是通达相，是道起性，通达唯一因，以这种方式通达以加持通达第四现证。第一者，通达唯一因者，为万法于生亦不生过，无有个别，于世俗幻象中亦无有个别，于世俗幻象中亦无有个别。无生性，犹如所谓性为各种幻象皆有作用，幻性无性，彼未生故，与世俗生亦无二，是故正为一因者。一因，那在《幻网心要经》里面，它最主要是依靠这四种通达来讲说密教，解释密教。在密比丘金刚里面有一些序言，他们有讲说到四种义，就是智义、智义、隐义，他有讲说三种隐义、发隐义。那以究竟来讲，可以讲光明的究竟，还有双运 究竟。那现在讲的四种通达也是有很多不同的解释。
Is again divided into different sections. So the text reads, this is on page 37, a conviction in this mode of great completion or great perfection arises by means of four understandings. One, understanding the oneness of cause. Two, understanding through the mode of syllables. Three, understanding through the blessings. And four, direct understanding. Understanding the oneness of cause refers to this. Since all phenomena are on the ultimate level unborn, they are not different from each other. They are not different in sharing the characteristics of illusions on the conventional level. What is unborn itself appears as diverse illusory forms, just like reflections of moon and water. And since illusion is devoid of intrinsic nature and is unborn, and since the ultimate and the conventional are indistinguishable, one understands the oneness of cause. So this is an important, and this alludes to an important passage in the Guhyagarbha Tantra, which is the most important, which is one of the most important passages in the Guhyagarbha Tantra that presents the philosophical viewpoint of this particular text, and just as in the case of when interpreting or when reading. Vajrayana texts such as the Guhya Samaja Tantra, in which case reading of a single passage or a single statement or sentence can have many different levels of meaning. For example, one speaks of four modes of meaning, the literal meaning, the general meaning, and the hidden meaning, and the ultimate or the definitive meaning. So even with relation to a single sentence or a single word in the Vajrayana text of the highest yoga class, one can read the same statement at many different levels. So this also applies to this particular context here as well.
Yeah.
讲过罗哲泰耶上师的解释里面，我想说到通达一因者的内涵，就是远离八系论而不生。他这种不生并不是指远离八系论，他所指的不生是指光明。他这里所谓的光明是所谓的光明之心而通达的空性。就是助于真实空性的光明心，它升起的时候是现证空性，它没有任何的细论，所以它就是指它的意思就是生亦不生，万法于生亦不生，来在它的现象而言，它没有任何的法。在那个当下，任何的法无有个别，所以就解释了为万法于生亦不生故，无有个别。
Phenomena should not be understood in terms of the merely in terms of the sutra presentation of emptiness, where, for example, one speaks of how all phenomena are devoid of the, free of the eight extremes, such as going, coming, oneness, and multiplicity, and so on. But that's not the meaning. The meaning of the freedom from conceptual elaboration here must be understood, as explained before, from the point of view of the innate mind of clear light. So the point Kongdul is making is that in the yogi in whose mind the wisdom of clear light has become directly manifest, in that yogi's mind there is no dualistic perception of any kind. So from that point of view, such characteristics as going and coming, oneness and separateness and so on, none of these conventional characteristics can be said to exist. And while the wisdom of clear light is manifest in that individual, none of these dualistic perceptions of any kind will appear to that individual's individual. So it is from that point of view one should understand the reference that all phenomena are on the ultimate level unborn, and from that point of view they are also not different from each other. There is no differentiation of what you know of any kind.
But the
无万法于生意不生故，无有个别。那 总而言之，他现在是在讲说一光明智。于世俗幻象中，那这里所谓的世俗，那这里有讲亦无有。那这里说的世俗是指幻身，就是世俗幻身，也称为幻化之身。
But here, since the ultimate truth was understood in terms of the wisdom of clear light, then the conventional truth here must also be understood in correspondence to that. So the conventional truth here refers to the resonance, the expression, the self-expression of that innate mind of clear light. And the self-expression of that clear light wisdom is really the illusory body. So the conventional truth here refers to the illusory body, which is the self-resonance or expression of the wisdom of clear light.
That 空法它所指的是圣意光明，那现方来讲是指幻化世俗身。那这是成就佛的法身跟色身的种类相顺之意，种类相顺之因。
It becomes the substantial cause, the primary cause for the attainment of the enlightened body and mind.
That 又提到了，在说法《金刚说序》当中，有讲说到。 究竟一般有光明究竟、双运究竟两种。那这里所指的空乐双运，这里只是空乐双运，也就是光明究竟。那这讲的是如同刚刚所讲的清不清净的万法都是光明所展现，光明所变现。能取之证实法，暂时法又如同油遍布麻油遍布麻一样，芝麻一样，芝麻油遍布所有的芝麻一样，虽然冰块虽然很硬，但是它的本质还是水的本质。所以我们内心的这些心也都是光明所变现出来的。那我们这些心事的境也是如同唯识派所讲说，虽然他们不如同唯识，他们讲说跟这些境是一体性的，实有体性的。总而言之，如同唯识派他们所讲多有一点是相同的，就是靠光明而现起所有的法。空性有净跟净两个相融之一位，那因为那另外一个一位就是光明是说一些诸法之根源，所以这也是有一味的内涵。那现在所讲的一味是空乐无二，那空乐无二变成一者，那依此而现起的幻化身，这两者那变成一位，也就是所谓的生意，一位就是所谓的二地双运。那现在讲一种不共的二谛之后，就是世俗和圣，世俗的幻身和空性的光明。那无生性犹如所谓现为各种幻象，皆有作用。幻性无性，彼未生故，于世俗生亦无二，是故正为一因。或者这就是在讲说无上密的最究竟圆满次第。
Oneness of experience and oneness of taste, and here he refers to two levels of union. In one context, the union is the union of the objective emptiness and the subjective clear light, which is understood in terms of the union of bliss and emptiness. And here, as explained before, the subjective clear light refers to the ultimate clear light, the wisdom of clear light. And from the perspective of that wisdom of clear light, one can understand all phenomena to be of a single taste. For example, so far as the individual person's experience of various levels of mental states are concerned, and even all the subjective experiences, including the grosser levels of consciousness, they are, as explained before, kind of manifestations arising out of that clear light state of mind. And so the analogy is given, and because of that, each and every state of one's mind, consciousness, is permeated by the essential quality of or consciousness, which is the clear light. So the analogy given here is just as every part of a sesame seed is permeated by the oil that is contained in the sesame seed, in the same manner, all the levels of one's consciousness, including the grosser levels of consciousness, they are also permeated by the nature of clear light. Another analogy that is given is the relationship between ice and water. When you perceive ice, there is definitely a solidity in the actual structure of the ice. But regardless of how solid ice may seem, it never deviates, never loses its essential nature of being water. The water is contained in the ice. In the same manner, all spectrum of consciousness is permeated by its essential nature, which is clear light. And since this is the case, then of course the objects, the field of experience of one's consciousness, all of these are in a sense manifestations and play of this innate mind of clear light, as explained before. So from that point of view, there is a kind of a oneness of taste in the entirety of phenomena. And so this is one, and when the ultimate wisdom of clear light is experienced, then it is of course conjoined with the object emptiness, and there is a union of bliss and emptiness. So this is one level of union. And however, Khonsu Rinpoche points to another level of union, where the union is where the bliss and emptiness is taken as one of the pairs, one of the units of the union, and the other unit is the illusory body that we spoke about just now. So the union of this clear light wisdom and the illusory body represents the higher form of union, where effectively the two truths of the ultimate truth and the conventional truth have become integrated and united. And so this is a unique form of union that is explained. And because of this, in the text we read, what is unborn itself appears as diverse illusory forms, just like the reflections of moon and water. And since illusion is devoid of intrinsic nature and it's unborn, and since the ultimate and the conventional are indistinguishable, this is referring to the union of illusory body and clear light, one understands the oneness of cause. So the oneness of cause here, Khonsu Rinpoche understands the commentary in terms of the union of the illusory body and the clear light wisdom.
Yeah.
通达音者讲说完之后，以字母方式通达者，可能是指生命一体，是指二谛，了达万法无生其二，于本质见无生性为幻化有作用其二生本质。那与密集金刚的法语来讲呢？就是我们具有的最细微的风心，那靠这两个风心而现起身，佛的身与意。 那心，那就我们的心就会现为佛陀的意。那成佛的时候，佛陀的身与意就会变成一体。所以聊到万法无生是二与本质，也就是原始光明它所成之风。那这个风有一部分风就变成佛陀的雨，这里所指的是有学的双运。那见无生性为幻化有作用其恶，那是指现其的幻化之身，所以这里讲说身不知如是，通达知了别幻智，无中有无中边即是空一本质。那成风之与风一体之光明，就是所谓的意。那讲述到幻身的三门是一体的，那这里有说月称菩萨的明句论，也有讲说到啊，那月称菩萨在解释密集金刚本序的时候，在他的明句论当中有讲说佛陀的身与意是一体的，那双运的三密是无二的，是一体的。
So we read in the text here, understanding through the mode of syllables is as follows. The unborn nature of all phenomena is A, which is the nature of enlightened speech. That the unborn nature itself appearing as causally efficacious illusion is O, which is the nature of enlightened body. And that the awareness that cognizes this, the illusory wisdom devoid of center and peripheries is Om, which is the nature of enlightened mind. So what this refers to is, for example, in the terminology of Guhyasamaja Tantra, we speak of the innate qualities of prana energies and subtle levels of consciousness. And these subtle levels of consciousness are indivisible from their mediums, which is the prana energies or the prana winds. So just as even on the level of experience, level of existence, these subtle levels of consciousness are indivisible from their medium, which is the energy, the prana winds. So, and the body, speech, and mind really are functions of the interaction between the subtle prana winds and the subtle consciousness. So, and the whole, in fact, there are explicit statements in the Guhyasamaja Tantra, which Kongtu cites in his commentary here, where he cites from Chandrakirti's commentary on the root tantra of Guhyasamaja, and his commentary is entitled Dunsel, or The Bright Lamp, in which by commenting on a particular a passage or a line from the root tantra, Chandrakirti explicitly explains that for the yogi who has gained union, the body, speech, and mind have fused into a single taste. So here we read that so from this the fundamental kind of this unit of subtle prana energy, prana wind, and the subtle consciousness, one part of that prana wind represents the enlightened speech, and the prana wind in its entirety, which culminates and arises at the illusory body, represents the enlightened body, and then the awareness of the yogi that realizes this, that has cognizance of this, represents the enlightened mind. And these three have fused into a single taste in the yogi who has gained the union. So therefore we read the reference to the three letters Om and O and A in the text here, corresponding to the body, speech and mind.
Tonda 譬如白衣染红其加之力在烧煮中加之诸佛诸法为佛其利益为同一因及自母方式利所加之那所有的进不进诸法清净不清净的诸法都是光明它的展现光明所变现出来的因此不清净的这些万法就譬如 譬如以显密共同的解释的时候我们不是会解释到自信涅槃自信涅槃就是所谓的诸法无自性那因为自信涅槃所以因为有自信清净所以我们才会有课程的清净就是因为事实上是无自性所以我们才可以知道说执着事实上有自信的这个智 这种心它是错乱事那应该是无自性所以说自信执着它是错乱事我们可以断除它不清净万法它为什么可以清净呢为什么可以使它清净呢是因为光明它本身就是清净它没有被污染所缚因为它自己是 本来清净是自性清净因此它可以升起对治那因为它升起的清净所以它可以变成极清净所以所谓的加持所以加持的意思就是靠威德改变的意思就是使不清净之万法变成清净之法
什么能变成清净法呢？那就是因为他们的根本是光明。 The power to transform all phenomena into enlightened Buddhas is obtained through understanding the oneness of cause and understanding the mode of the syllables. So, what is being explained here is the possibility of the transformation, which is embedded in the nature of the phenomena themselves. And for example, in the context of sutra system, one speaks of natural nirvana, which refers to the emptiness. And because all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, because of this, their ultimate nature is emptiness, it is this natural nirvana that allows the possibility for eventual removal or dispelling of the ignorance that grasps onto things as truly existent or substantially real. Whereas if the belief in a substantial reality is veridical, if they reflect reality, if they are true, then and that would imply that all phenomena are truly substantially real, in which case it will preclude any possibility or any potential for transformation and change. Because all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, their ultimate nature is empty, it is this emptiness that allows the possibility of transformation and enlightenment. In the same manner, here in the context of Highest Yoga Tantra, when we understand that all phenomena of cyclic existence are in some sense effulgence or manifestations arising from the fundamental innate mind of clear light, you know, they are kind of grosser levels of manifestation. This then implies all these factors of samsara, the unenlightened existence, they are really advantages. And since the essential nature of mind is clear light, which is free of any defilements and obscurations, this then allows the possibility for all of these advantageous factors of samsara to be removable in principle. And because of this, it also allows the possibility to have to apply powerful antidotes against the defilements, so that these could be eventually removed. So therefore, in the text here, there's a reference to blessing and transformation through blessing. And the Tibetan word for blessing is chinlab, which has a connotation of something being changed as a result of a power of some kind of brilliance or majesty. So blessing here connotes a transformation. So because the essential nature of mind is pure, it allows the possibility of a transformation.
就是刚刚如同我们所举的这个例子一样，就比如说冰块它非常能硬，那因为它是水的本质，所以它可以融化成为水。那如果它不是水的本质的话，它没办法变成湿的本质。它虽然现在非常的坚硬，这个冰块，但是因为它的本质是水，所以它可以变成水。 所以我们这些法都是这些不清净的万法，都是光明的本性。所以说，它可以融入于我们最原始的这个光明，可以在光明的当中，然后净除它，使它清净。
It's as hard as a rock, a piece of rock, but because, you know, despite the solidity of that piece of ice, that block of ice, it retains its quality, its nature of water. And because of that nature, that there is the possibility that you can melt it and get the water from the ice. Whereas if that block of ice has no quality of water contained within it, if the nature of ice is not water, then there wouldn't be the possibility of getting water from it. So in the same manner, since all the various levels of gross afflictions and conceptual thought processes and so on arise, all of these impure and contaminated states of mind arise from the innate mind of clear light, there is the possibility that they can eventually dissolve into the innate mind of clear light as well.
那只有讲到这个现证者，万法本住佛，彼亦不与教果觉相违，就是跟教佛陀的教法还有果觉都有讲说到，如同他所讲说的，事实上也这样存在这里所讲说的，是指依靠字面上可以成立的这个教法，亦非为依教觉。 以治疗别于心生性而现正也，就是自己我们如果去修持，是可以升起体验。以道信者，了悟是通达意，即是愚切者之道。此不待造因感果之时，是自现正起性。 反正以上所讲的就是这些法，我们是可以去修持的，是修持之后可以得到体验的。Page
38, direct understanding is understanding that the abiding of all phenomena, primordially as fully enlightened, is not contrary to the intention of the scriptures and the quintessential instructions, and that it does not depend upon the words of the scriptures and quintessential instructions alone. This is understood directly as one has gained conviction from the depth of one's mind by means of one's own intellect. So this particular passage points to the possibility of gaining direct experience of this truth. And then we read, gaining conviction through the path refers to the comprehension of the meaning of the four understandings, which is the path of a yogi. And we read, however, this is not like the practice in which a cause depends upon a temporal process for its effect to arise. Rather, one comprehends it directly by oneself with faith.
That day,
那讲过罗智泰也，他有讲说，所谓的现证者，并不一定需要异光明才能现证的。那罗德王默的道果解释，他有讲说到异光明还有欲光明，那欲光明就是欲智慧。还有讲到明空无二，明空双运，最究竟就是意智慧，这之前要有欲智慧。那以密集金刚的用词来讲，就是第四次第意光明。那就是心即最究竟的意智慧，还有欲譬喻的智慧，欲智慧。那欲智慧又可以分为生系两种，那三相之后所现起的譬喻智慧，那三系为之三相，就是八十分别心止息之后，就是八十分别心可以分为两种，一种是生的，一种是细的，一种是粗的，是细的。那粗的八十分别心止息之后所现起的智慧，还有细微止息之后所生为的起的智慧就不一样。所以说这些都有非常的粗细的差别，慢慢的升起更细更细的心。所以在这里有讲说道次见次的修持而言，所谓的现证并不需要依靠这个意的智慧才能够升起。所以说这个意智慧不一定要靠经典，可以靠有正量的上师，他的指指，他的教导，可以让弟子得到这种觉受。所以讲说通达一因者，还有一种方式通达者，是讲说到双运。所以这个四通达相者并不是道的一部分，它是圆满的道。那一因者是指二谛双运，以这种方式通达者是三密无二，三密一体。那以加持通达者是不净的不清净的这个身运处，那是得到清净。那现证者是讲说到不只是粗的光明，而细微的光明我们都能够去修行修持，而让自己升起。
Understanding the ultimate wisdom of clear light alone, there can be many different levels of direct experience, and this is very similar to the ideas found in, for example, Lamde cycle of teachings, whereThere is a reference to ultimate wisdom and the metaphorical wisdom, and also with relation to the metaphorical wisdom, in the Lambda cycle of teaching, there is also a recognition of subtle and grosser levels and so on. And for example, there will be a wisdom that metaphorical or example or metaphoric wisdom that arises in following the dissolution of all the subtle levels of the three subtle states of consciousness, the appearance, the red increase, and the near attainment. And there can also be grosser levels of metaphorical wisdom where the wisdom arises in the aftermath of the dissolution of the grosser levels of the 80 conceptions and so on. So the point is that when we speak of direct experience in this context, one should not confine that to refer only to the ultimate wisdom of clear light. There can be many different levels of direct experience. So, and also these such kind of direct experiences can also be affected on, in some cases, on the basis of an experienced master and giving an instruction to a ripened disciple who, on the basis of the instruction, can bring about the experience of direct understanding as well. So the direct understanding has connotation on many different levels. So then Gongchu Rinpoche in his commentary summarizes this whole section of the four understandings and explains that the first understanding, which is the oneness of the cause, really explains the nature of the union of the two truths. And then the second understanding, which is the understanding of the mode of syllables, really explains the oneness, the fusion of the body, speech, and mind of the person who has attained union. And then the third understanding, that is understanding through the blessings, explains the process by which the impure aspects of one's existence are purified. And then the fourth understanding explains the possibility of gaining a direct experience or understanding of that process.
这次我以身心而立目的就近了达是通道方式是觉性相，那这里就是以身闻思修三个次第，先有闻，然后思，然后意，然后靠这个次第慢慢的使我们的觉受越来越深。 复护串解实如心相，由串习力现起是果性相。三性相常是相属所谓相属者为通达无染于清净法，即原是生于一性，本是佛界极佳之意，即是所了的因性相，其结合成为无上佛因之一。 54页，所谓者即，污染清净法无眼及无甘露等一切施舍，皆系原始佛期与其大平等，心无取无舍是入之心相，思维成就无上佛因。故此所谓之所谓者污染清净无眼及无甘露等一切，殊别施舍皆是原始佛期大平等心无取舍，人欲成就此。 有轮回性原始无上正觉本性及自性涅槃性任于成就是故现前过去生于无尽言论是所谓之所谓。那这个没有什么特别要做解释，也没什么时间。那这就是年老人，就是如同年老者吃饭一样。
Understanding, you know, goes through a process of deepening, progressively deepening from the stage of in understanding derived through study, on to understanding derived through reflection, and then culminating in the understanding derived through meditation. So, which is the standard process by which one's understanding gets deepened. So the text reads, it is by means of understanding the three characteristics marks, successful realization of the goal will take place. The comprehension of the four modes of understanding is the characteristic mark of knowledge. So this refers to the understanding derived through study and learning. Constant cultivation of familiarity is the characteristic mark of engagement. So this refers to the understanding derived through contemplation and reflection. And its actualization due to the force of habituation is the defining characteristic of the result. So this refers to the understanding derived through meditation practice, meditative practice. And then the text goes on to explain these three characteristics marks also present the correlations, which is the interrelationships of the various elements, the purpose and the ultimate purpose. As for the correlations, it refers to relating the characteristic marks of the knowledge of the cause, that is the understanding of all phenomena labeled as afflicted or enlightened as being right from the beginning, embodiments of enlightened body, speech and mind, and as the expense of natural Buddhahood, which is the meaning of blessing. So the correlation refers to relating the characteristics marks of the knowledge of the cause to being the cause for achieving the unexcelled enlightenment. As for the purpose, it is the comprehension of all phenomena, those that are imputed as afflicted factors or factors belonging to the enlightened class, as the five medicines, as well as the five nectars and so on, with the great equanimity of primordial Buddhahood, with no evaluative judgments of affirmation and negation. This is the characteristic mark of engagement, and it is the cause of achieving the unexcelled Buddhahood. It is the purpose. The ultimate purpose is as follows. Given that all phenomena that are imputed as distinct realities, such as afflicted factors, as factors of enlightened class, as five medicines, as five nectars, and so on, have spontaneously come into being within the great equanimity of unexcelled Buddhahood, with no judgment of affirmation and negation, the wheel of existence itself has existed right from the beginning, as the nature of unexcelled Buddhahood, sharing the characteristics of Nirvana. It is therefore the characteristic mark of the result and the manifest actualization of this wheel of atonement of inexhaustible body, speech and mind, which is the ultimate purpose. So by explaining the three characteristics marks, then the text goes on to explain the interrelationships and also the purpose and the ultimate purpose of these various stages. So His Holiness was saying that he's not going to elaborate on the text itself, partly because we have not much time, and also partly there is an expression that one teaches the text, one comments upon the text like an old man chewing. So you swallow the hard bits and chew the soft bits.
当勤修念修净念修成修大成修意任于成就于解念修净念修成修大成修那不同的仪轨它有不同的这四种的说法念修者了知菩提心且知之万法本源是佛性那这里了知菩提心最主要是观修空性就比如在经典有讲说最初空性菩提心无上密的空性修法一定要靠光明来修空性这不管在任何时刻无上密所讲的观空性都要先了解光明的这个道理然后以光明然后来去观空性且真知万法本原是佛性就是这些完全都是光明的变现为不清净的这些法我们直接说它是佛的本性我们很难了解它的内涵那我们在以光明的这个方式去了解的话我们就可以知道说这些不清净的法都是靠圆满的 不是靠原始的光明而现起的，所以我们可以说知道说这些完全都是佛性，不需到成本一不能被对治改造，它因为本来原来就是佛性，就如同在宝性论里面有讲说一个寄送，那在相关专论又讲说这个寄送呢，就说没有要去除者，没有要安立者，那以相关专论来讲，就把这寄送解释成为显教的内涵，就说所谓的实质并没有什么实质要破除，也没有什么无我要安立的。那这个寄送来讲，相关专业论跟宝性论是一样，那在宝性论是把它解释成为密法的内容，就是我们现在的原始光明跟佛位的原始光明，一切种子他们这两者虽然有远不远，有没有远离污染的差别，但是他们的体性是绝对没有，他们的自信是没有污染的。那在一些经典有讲说有一转或无一转的这种说法，那以净光明来讲的话是没有一转，那有净光明来讲的话那是有一有转一，但是从另外一个角度来讲是无转一。亦不能被对治改造，心念修者了知即是本尊。那光明它现为本尊，此复诸法本是佛性，故自亦原始本尊性，非现在修所成，并不是现在的所修现在修持所成就的。成修者即生母即由大母空中，大母空中见虚空，现是大母地水火风四者，且正此是原始有功能母大。成修者即方便不离自位，亦有五大母会与虚空母空性中无蕴，诸佛之父无怨，原始双运所成是菩提心化身解灭性，与原始佛意游戏幻中一幻，从声音幻续流安乐时，尚不远无相应，与虚空平等了达，其而任运是魔亦福得成就尽意也。那这就是成就最究竟之道理。万法本来心性如意，无量空智圆满轮，原始即入无上坛城，入彼前闻方便善事开眼，也通达其意思，见坛城通达或串解事入坛城，作为现解事得大系列如是之理，即是大圆满究竟之意。自然去入自轮大聚合地，那这个备忘论是什么呢？它是自然去入自轮大聚合地，也就是一切种子，就是这本论点。那有很清楚的讲说自然去入一切种子的之方便，而且很圆满的讲说尚未师父了知原始佛意是原始佛，且是串习成即还，并非俗事。就如同昨天我们所提到的，一般不管修什么密法，如果没有空性的话是非常困难的。那原始佛的自信、原始光明，还有自信清净，还有这些诸法是他的变化所展现的这个内涵，如果不了知的话，那无上密的要修学无上密是非常困难的。
And attainment and the great attainment, and these four branches of yogic practice, they are different branches corresponding to the specific Vajrayana practice, the deity yoga one may be engaging in. So in the text here we read, to achieve this, one must strive for the yoga that brings about spontaneous realization of approximation, near approximation, attainment, and the great attainment. Approximation refers to the knowledge of the awakening mind. And here, in the context here, this refers to the meditation on emptiness in the tantric sense, which is the understanding that it is by means of the path that all phenomena are realized as primordially in the nature of Buddhahood, and that they cannot be altered by means of their counterforces. So, when we speak of meditation on emptiness in the context of highest yoga tantra, it is not adequate simply to have an understanding of emptiness as presented in the sutra text, but one also needs to have an understanding of the nature of clear light, so that the actual meditation is done from the perspective of the clear light, subjective clear light experience. So, therefore, there is a reference to the primordial Buddhahood. The primordial Buddhahood does not imply that from the Vajrayana perspective, everything is primordially Buddha. The point being made here is that everything is, given that everything arises from the innate mind of clear light, which is primordially pure, they have the potential of primordial enlightenment or primordial Buddhahood. So we then read, near approximation refers to the knowledge of oneself as a deity, and here it refers to the illusory body experience, which in turn is the understanding that since all phenomena are primordially the nature of Buddhahood, oneself too is primordially in the nature of the deity, and that this is not something that has been cultivated at present. So earlier there was a reference to the statement that because of their primordial nature of Buddhahood, nothing can be altered by means of their counterforces. So if one understands that from the perspective of the clear light, then given that essential mind of clear light is pure, there is, in a sense, nothing really to remove or nothing really to eliminate in that ultimate sense. And this resonates a passage or a stanza in Maitreya's Uttara Tantra, which also the exact identical stanza is found also in Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, Ornament of Clear Realization. And in the Ornament of Clear Realization, there is a stanza which reads that there is nothing here to remove, nor there is nothing from which one needs to remove it, and so on. And in the Ornament of Clear Realization, this absence of anything to be removed is really explained in terms of the emptiness of inherent emptiness of true existence. So from the point of view of emptiness of true existence, there is nothing that needs to be removed, because no phenomena ever possessed any true existent or substantial reality. So in an ultimate sense, there is nothing to be removed or negated. And however, in the Uttara Tantra, the Maitreya's text on Sublime Continuum, there he cites exactly the same passage, but explains it in a different way, where he understands all the defilements and the afflictions to be adventitious, and the qualities of the enlightened mind are naturally contained within the mind. And he explains this passage along those lines. And particularly in the context of highest yoga tantra, then this passage will have to be understood from the point of view of the essential nature of mind as being clear light and being devoid of any defilements. So from that point of view, there is nothing to be removed or nothing to be eliminated. So then we go on to read from the text that attainment refers to the generation of the mother. And as for the great mother, which here refers to Samandrabhadri, it is within the expanse of space, and space itself appears as the great mother, namely as the four elements of water, fire, and wind. One recognizes these as the mother who is the receptacle of the creation of all phenomena. The great attainment refers to relating of method and wisdom, which is the primordial uniting of the wisdom of the five great consorts with the father of all the Buddhas of the five aggregates free of aspiration. From this union, the bodhicitta drops appear as emanations whose nature is such that within the truth of primordial Buddhahood, illusions play on illusions. And at this blissful moment of illusory supreme bliss continuum, one achieves spontaneously the truth of signlessness with a non-objectified space into a single stream. The four classes of Mara, which refers to the obstructive forces, are thus subdued and one achieves the final objective. And then in the next passage we read that this is achieved in the following manner with respect to entering the primordially unexcelled mandala, which is the undifferentiated celestial wish-granting mansion wherein all phenomena are primordially pure. Hearing the scriptures of the method vehicle is the opening of one's eyes. So a process similar to entering a mandala is explained here. Understanding the meaning of the teachings is seeing the mandala, and cultivating its familiarity following its understanding is entering the mandala, while actualizing it after entering it is the obtainment of the great siddhi attainment. This procedure signifies the final stage of great perfection or great completion. That is, one arrives spontaneously on the level of great accumulation, which refers to the omniscient state of Buddhahood, which is the wheel of syllables. So in this last passage, the process of entering in the path and progressively traversing the path is explained. And then in the next section, we read, the persons of excellent mental faculty understand what are primordially enlightened as primordially enlightened, and the familiarity of this knowledge enhances with firm steps. This is not a pursuit of the ordinary person. So this again refers to a point I made earlier, that for a genuine practitioner of highest yoga tantra, some realization of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and understanding of emptiness is indispensable. And understanding of emptiness as explained in the sutra teachings, and particularly in the context of highest yoga tantra meditation, the understanding of ultimate nature of reality from the point of view of wisdom of clear light, that is also indispensable. And without these bases, there is simply no foundation upon which one can successfully engage in the practice of highest yoga meditation.
Page 2.
凡者闻后尽管如是思维气，难无且未能及幸运真实身高未能生信切以是心难了，其不解真实身高之天劫的作用，念一切皆如是，便说是假地为甚是为其前诸念，即明明故，宣说是罪，灭灭圣，是故乃至为通达一切法誓愿死佛矣。下圣者若作立众。 不造坏弟子，是故阿舍利，因通达轮回过失与涅槃功德及一切身，因不了知少分故，知不可为阿舍利所摄持者尚多。他讲得非常的好，非常的妙。
He contemplates, he will have no conviction in its truth and profundity. Relating to this fact of the mind of the ordinary person not gaining conviction, having difficulty in comprehending it and accepting its truth and profundity, there is the danger of thinking that this must be the same for everyone. One might then denigrate the excellent persons as all liars and thereby engender thoughts of refuting them. Because of this, it is being kept hidden. As such, it is taught as the secret vehicle. Therefore, until the mind understanding the truth of all phenomena as being primordially enlightened has arisen, if one engages in others' welfare on the basis of the lower vehicles, one will not undermine the spiritual trainees, referring to the disciples. So extensive statements are found in the scriptures that the master must be versed in the knowledge of the defects of cyclic existence, the excellent qualities of nirvana, as well as in all the vehicles, and that a master who is ignorant of some aspect of the teachings must not hold the position of a teacher.
This 以见解之别来讲说进行的分别，以见解的深粗细差别来讲说进行，见解殊胜之故性与进行有二，无苦行者即世间巧蛙于母兔，具苦行者由是相依顺势举变菩萨苦行是无上苦行，巧蛙因于之不解因果故无有苦行，顺便者此段建议无有苦行，顺势即为经是书别而作故事，接近者接近等苦行者无待须有常我为清净彼故，一请出生至五具苦行，行颠倒即行生无苦行，其如具律中言诸恶魔之众生菩提之心及四诸佛教生而诸法于世俗圣意恶个别其有之见，行断恶积善之苦行，行进行菩萨之苦行，如菩萨律言誓愿不利益身便不作恶怀悲与之故善行无有故，若有大悲所摄之则行善恶等法律不退，应以菩萨律一种是大悲为基而行无上苦行，亦如大印经云若定觉佛圣虽行或无欲，如莲花玉女于彼律圆满一切法本来平等故，悲无可依称无可观，为如是通达则不生悲心，如是以见分别本来清净，恶亦如是清净行苦行与进行思密渐慢如盲智开得言愿执欲胜欲胜事有会方便计。莲花生大师住，那就结束。
Next, the author explains that due to the differences of views, in terms of their profundity and so on, differences in the ascetic practices and the conducts that are based on them also differ.So we read in the text, due to the differences of views, differences exist too in the ascetic practices and the conducts. Those devoid of ascetic practice are the unreflective worldly and the nihilists. There are four kinds that have ascetic practices. One, the mundane ascetic practices which the materialists and the extremists have. Two, the ascetic practices of the disciples. And three, the ascetic practices of the bodhisattvas and the unexcelled ascetic practice.Of these, the unreflective is ignorant of cause and effect and is therefore devoid of ascetic practice. The nihilists uphold nihilistic view and are devoid of ascetic practice. The materialists seek qualities characteristic of this life, so they possess ascetic practices such as observance of purity laws and so on. The extremists, with the goal of purifying the eternal self,engage in such asceticism as abusing the body, keeping themselves in the five types of fire and so on, and they engage in the conducts in a distorted manner. Then the text goes on to explain, as for the ascetic practice of the disciple, the discipline scripture states, this is the Vinaya, do not commit any evil, engage in virtues as best as you can, thoroughly tame your own mind, this is the teaching of the Buddha.Thus, they view all factors of existence, virtues or non-virtues, as existing separately and respectively belonging to categories of ultimate and conventional truths. They engage in the conduct of practicing the virtues and relinquishing non-virtues. Then the text continues with the Bodhisattva ascetic practice. So we read, as to the ascetic practice of the Bodhisattva vow states, not affecting the means when circumstances call for, not employing supernatural powers, threats and so on, he who has compassion and out of loving kindness and those of virtuous mind, there is no fault in these acts. So we read then, so if it is sustained by great compassion, regardless of whatever acts one might engage in, be it virtuous or non-virtuous, one's vows will not degenerate. For the Bodhisattva vow is in brief to act with taking great compassion as its ground. And then the text goes on to explain the ascetic practice of the unexcelled asceticism. We read, as for the unexcelled asceticism, the Great Pledge Sutra states, if one is thoroughly affirmed in the Buddha's vehicle, even if one indulges in all the afflictions in the five senses, just like a lotus growing in muddy water, in him morality remains pure and perfect. And then we read, since all phenomena are in perfect equanimity from the very beginning, no compassion is to be cultivated, no hatred is to be eliminated. It does not mean, however, that compassion does not arise for those who fail to understand in this way. Just as they comprehend the means of the view that all phenomena are primordially pure, they engage also in the ascetic practices, the conducts with thorough purity. And then the author, colophon of the text is found, which also makes the dedication. So we read, this secret instruction, a garland of views, if there are persons who possess skills of wisdom and method, may such excellent beings encounter this instruction, just as the blind who opens his own eyes and recovers his sight. And then the text concludes, the quintessential instruction entitled The Garland of Views is complete. It was composed by the great master Padmasambhava.
那这个论点是非常的广，如果要很细微的了解内容的它的内容，那需要阅读其他很多论点，才能够真的了解它其中的内涵。
A presentation of the meaning of this text, obviously one would need to consult and study much wider range of texts as well.
就是听闻之意，听闻之后我们要去修行，是最重要的。那今天在这里，可能有一些。 不相信佛法者，或者是其他的宗派者，那你们可能知道说哦，什么是佛法？那对你们而言，我所讲的法，就等于说是一种尝试，一种知识。Was
of other faith traditions, or who may have no faith at all in any religious tradition. However, you have had the opportunity to at least be informed and introduced to some key elements of the Buddhist path, and you know, in that way at least you have acquired some knowledge and understanding.
那不是佛教徒的这些人，或者是其他的宗派者，或是没有宗教者，那你们有个责任，那这责任是什么呢？那你们好好的观看这个。 佛教徒他们也没有真好好的修行，好好的做，那这个责任就是你们唯一的责任。To
constantly watch the behavior and action of those who claim to be practicing Buddhists.
谢谢你们。那在此，很多人集聚到此地。那你们很专注的听法。那如果你是。 认为自己是一个佛教徒，就要好好的去了解佛法的内涵，然后去修行。那要下大的决心，然后期许要少一点花时间。以我自己的经验而言，我现在差不多70岁。
在我十六岁的时候，我开始修行，更重视修行，从那个时候开始。那我现在的体验也是非常的微少微小。那我可以跟你们讲说，你们如果精进的去做的话，那我们的心一定会得到改变，得到改善，那我们的人生会更快乐更美好啊。那我想怎么样很这热忱的心，我们要常常的保持住。那所谓的佛教，就是用我们的人类智慧，然后来去改变我们的内心，然后去观察，然后去查究真理，然后让自己的内心升起了定觉，靠定觉然后带来的行为，然后以这样的方式来度过。谢谢。